Overtime hustling.
Yo, welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. I'm your host and your moderator, Deami Moraney, aka Old Hip Hop Head, and we're coming straight from The World Is Your Studio in Long Beach, California. And tonight, we're going to have that long awaited Kendrick conversation and have some special guests in the house with me tonight. I'm going to let them introduce themselves as always. So I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to throw it over to you, Molly. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yo, what up? What up? This is Molly G, producer, beat maker, and lover of hip hop.
Yo, that's
what's up
right.
With y'all?
Yeah, that's. I'm excited to have you, man. Just the knowledge that you've had, that you have, whenever we've been discussing, hip hop on, on Facebook or the Gram, whatever it may be. Actually, to give you credit, you kind of started this conversation, the Kendrick conversation, that kind of launched off what we were doing with the Honest Conversations About Hip Hop. So
cool.
I appreciate you coming down, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to do today. And always with me, my mellow, my ace. I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself as well.
Yeah, Sean Capone in the building, the artist extraordinaire. I don't produce or anything like that, but I can write and talk about hip hop, man. I've been studying the game and as an artist myself, just trying to figure out how to get in. So, like I said, I've been observing everybody else's moves. So, definitely fill in and tie into what's going on out there.
Yes, man. And good looking for, joining us as always as well. So the Kendrick conversation. Kendrick dropped Damn Now. What was it? Maybe about, was it over a month ago?
A little bit over a month.
Something like that. And instantly, the internet, the streets, basically crowned him as the GOAT currently now, possibly of all time, depending who you talk to. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to discuss that kind of in length. We'll start off not with really how everybody thought about Damn. We're going to take it back to what was his first major release. I know a lot of people now are trying to throw Section 80 in that, that's one of Kendrick's classics. But, we'll kind of not touch on that. We're going to go ahead and touch on Good Kid, Bad City. So we'll go ahead and we'll start there. And I'll let you gentlemen, go ahead and kick it off and kind of give your thoughts on Good Kid, Mad City, what you thought about it, the relevance today now. What is it, almost 5 years later? Or
About
5 years later. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Good Kid, Mad City.
All right. So, with Good Kid, Mad City, it was definitely needed. It was a breath of fresh air from, what was going on or what has been going on probably for the last, 5-6 years prior. The way he addressed it and what was dope about it is he came with a concept album. And right. cats were not doing that prior. It's just, singles and fillers, and we haven't had an album that we really had to listen to the whole way through. And with Kendrick, I'll give him credit because you were going to listen to the album the whole way through.
Right.
Not saying you're going to like everything on the album, but he intrigued you enough to run the complete album. So,
So there's nothing that you would skip on Good Kid, Mad City. That's
no. I say
from front to back.
Listen.
Well,
listen.
See, because this is it. Well, I'm talking right now. I'm asking Sean Capone about his conversation or about his opinion on Good Kid, Mad City. So, are you saying your personal opinion is that is album front to back? You're not skipping nothing
for the initial listen. No, I'm not skipping anything. I'm an artist. So I've got to listen to the creativity of what he's bringing to in regards to the whole song. Now, will every song get ran through until it's completed? No, I might.
But that's
a skip,
though, right? Because if you're not listening to the whole joint,
well, no,
that's
a skip. I'll give it a 16 or two. You know what I mean? And when I hear from the first 16, then I know to keep pursuing with it and keep running it. You know what I mean? So I'm real selective like that.
Okay. What about you, Molly? What you feel about the Good Kid, Mad City?
Oh man, it was a hell of a debut. He did what I think he attempted to try to do, which was kind of bridge the gap with some of the purists like us and the newer cats. So he damn sure, I think he accomplished that for the most part. And I might be a little selfish wanting to hear certain stuff more than other stuff, a certain style more than another style. So I might be selfish with that. So for me, I liked it, but, you know, after you run it a couple times, you definitely find flaws and stuff that you might not have agreed with when you heard it the first time or this and that. You know, we look for perfection. We from the 90s, man, and all this,
right,
you know.
Right.
We want the product to be what we expect it to be and all of that. And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And these days, I can't speak for all the albums because I haven't heard everything.
Right, right.
But when it come to him, I damn sure expected a certain product, and I pretty much got it with that debut for the most part, all things considered. You know?
And for the most part, he delivered. And I'll be honest, I was kind of skeptical when it came out because I'm always skeptical about artists who are released under the Dr. Dre Aftermath, you know, Interscope umbrella, because a lot of times you get raw material, and then once it kind of goes through the Aftermath, Dre, Interscope, you know, process or whatever, it comes out a little different than what you expected.
Yeah.
And so when I first heard the album, I definitely liked the majority of it, some of it. To be honest with you, the singles that came out, the Women in the Weather track, the Swim Pools track.
right.
I wasn't really feeling that. Right. To me, that's skippable joints.
Right.
I'm not really feeling that.
Right.
The stuff that was the album cuts, if you want to say the, and again, I'm an old cat, so I don't know the names of all your records, and I do apologize ahead of time, but the song where he was jealous of Aaron Afalo and he was jealous of the game or whatever, I was feeling
was
joints
dope.
Like that.
Yeah,
yeah, those
that
were dope joints. Yeah. So to me, it was a solid album, and so that's why I'm going to ask this question here. Do you feel as if that was the first classic on Kendrick's resume?
No. I mean, not on the resume. I mean, it's a good album, and I mean, it's a definitely it's a hitter for a debut, you know, and you know, working with Interscope. So classic, nah, but it's a well put together album.
So if I threw some names out there, stuff that was released around that time, let's if we looked at Kendrick as a high school student, so to speak.
All right.
And we said, okay, you know, his years, you know, from freshman to senior year is, I think, what, 2010 to, like, 2014? Because I think 2012 or 2011 is when he dropped the Good Kid, Mad City. So in that time frame, we had J. Cole drop the Cole World. We had Drake drop Thank Me Later. We had Big Sean drop the Finally Famous joint, Schoolboy Q, dropped Habits and Contradictions, and just to throw another one out there that was critically acclaimed, personally I haven't heard too much of it, and no disrespect, Mac Miller with the blue Slide Park joint.
Okay.
Don't know nothing about that, so no disrespect to Mac Miller and what he's doing, that just that wasn't in my rotation. So if I had I just threw those names out there, where do you see Good Kid, Mad City stacked up against those records? And I'll go to you, Molly, on this one.
To be fair, I couldn't really say because I haven't heard all of them. But as far as his debut album and what he did with that particular album, with the criteria that is based on these days, because, I mean, it all is lyrics and the beats and all that. But I feel like it's looked at a little differently. I almost feel like it's more of a popularity kind of thing as opposed to what you really feel inside. But as that particular album, it had to be one of the best, because I know the general public heard the rest of those albums and they kind of spoke for you know, the masses, and
right,
kind of
right.
gave it to Kendrick on that particular album. So I mean, with all things considered, I think it definitely deserves to be up there. Classic with the ones that you mentioned, possibly. I would have to probably go a year. But I know that with Kendrick, with me, I just feel like there's a place that he can reach. And everything I've heard so far, I don't think he's really done what, you know,
taking
where he
there,
can go.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
What I think he is doing is, not to go ahead of the conversation, but
I think
what he's doing is trying to please people right now.
Right,
he's
right,
in that
right.
zone right now. Because
right, right.
he damn sure went to where I thought I think he kind of got real soulful on that last one, the second joint, which
yeah.
was really good to me.
Right.
Really good. And he experimented with different sounds. He kept it traditional, and he gave people kind of the new style too.
Right, right, right.
People hated that, seemed like to me. Like the general masses, for whatever reason, the younger cats don't like soul music.
No,
like,
they don't.
It seemed like to me like they really don't.
Well, they didn't wake up to it. Yeah, right. So we was waking up to that shit in the morning, you know.
Right.
So yeah, we was getting cracked and cleaning, but you know, he was waking up to it.
Yeah, right, and I agree with you. That is definitely a generational thing, because I think when he dropped the second album, To Pimp a Butterfly, I think a lot of that music, a lot of the younger cats were not ready for that. You know, they were thinking Kendrick was going to, and especially, you know, to be honest, again, and this is one of my issues with Kendrick, is the music that the label is putting out first, the singles, so to speak, quote unquote singles. The B joint with the Izzy Brothers sample, in my opinion, that's another one I'm not feeling. Don't want to hear that ever again. Like, somebody right now said, I'm going to throw on Kendrick B. I'm going to be like, nah, I'm cool. You need to throw that on. And again, I'm not trying to disrespect the man's work. Incredible artist, incredible, you know, lyricist, you know, what he does. I just think that a lot of times, or so far, these couple of joints that they release early on to push the album are by far not the best work. And I think when you're an MC at that level, I think you should always be putting out your best work first. Again, that's my personal opinion. He obviously has a big machine behind him that's going to continue to go ahead and push him, so he doesn't have to really worry about having a single flop and then have to deal with that, because they're going to go ahead and push him regardless, you know. So he's always going to have that kind of safety net there. So let me circle back, because we haven't come to this conclusion yet.
Yeah.
But a lot of conclusions, again, Good Kid, Mad City as a debut record is a classic. So we're going to talk about other debut records that might be considered classics or not, and we're talking about all time.
Now, if we do that, then this could go.
Yeah, so we're going to go there. We're going to ask this question. So I'm going to ask you. We'll just throw it out there. Ready to Die, Good Kid, Mad City.
Oh, come on,
man. Is it comparable?
Man.
I mean.
No, I mean, you can't compare a Ford Focus to a Lamborghini. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Kendrick, he had a hell of a debut in a time where, I mean, music is hurting. You know what I mean? So, like I said, it was refreshing to hear what he was doing, but no, I mean, there's no way. Ready to Die. I mean, what did Biggie have, like 7 singles or something like that from Ready to Die and the remixes and all that kind of stuff? Like, I mean, there's people that weren't even alive when Biggie was running, and they can still quote Biggie bars. And my beef with Kendrick is he's got so many fans, but I promise 9 out of 10 fans, you line up to ask him to repeat or to go ahead and spit 4 of Kendrick's bars in a track, they're not getting it to you. You know what I mean? And that's my beef with Kendrick as far as with the greatness is there's no stinger factor. You know what I mean?
So let me just follow up on that then. So is that a Kendrick I don't have bars problem, or is that hip hop generation today problem where they don't really follow the music like we might have followed the music back in the day, where our ears were trained to listen to that, right? So when we go, and that's how I look at music today. So when we listen to something, I'm looking for that stuff that makes me say, wow, did he just really say that? The rewindable factor. Remember, you know, what was it? Was it The Source that had the hip-hop quotables or whatnot? So nowadays, it's kind of hard to have a hip-hop quotable because cats can be quoting ad-libs or, you know, drop top, raindrop, you know what I mean? That's
crockpot.
Yeah.
Crock-pot.
When that's quotable of the year, you know, when cats is like, man, whatever Quasar, Quavo, whatever dude's name is. And again, I don't follow Domingo, so salute to you brothers getting that money or whatever. But when that's a quotable of the year, is that a focus on, you know, the generation more than maybe Kendrick as the MC?
Well, we know that boy got bars.
No, he got bars. But, I mean, to take it back now, we're getting ahead of ourselves with the Biggie conversation, because let's get back to the debut albums of everybody in Kendrick's generation.
We could definitely do that.
So, I mean, with the bars, y'all are going to think I'm crazy, and I'm sure this cat has, again, a team, you know, compiling, you know, bars on his records. But
Wait, hold on, because this is like the second time in two episodes that you low-key have stated that Kendrick might be having some assistance
No, not Kendrick. No, not Kendrick.
Okay.
The comparison, and I think there's with Schoolboy, Mac Miller is hip-hop, you know what I mean? But he, his first album's not banging with Kendrick. I like Schoolboy's grittiness, you know what I mean? And I can relate more to Schoolboy's music than what I can Kendrick initially, but Kendrick's album is a better written album.
All right.
Okay, so Schoolboy, we definitely know nobody's ghostwriting Schoolboy Q. I you know, I'll say that. No one's writing for Schoolboy Q. So Big Sean, is somebody penning for Sean? Is that what you're saying?
No, Big Sean, like his album, if somebody was writing for Big Sean, he need to go ahead and sign him up for EDD. You know what I mean? Like Big Sean, it wasn't that impressive.
So
you know what I mean?
So they should be looking for employment elsewhere right now.
Exactly.
All right. So then, I mean, J. Cole. I'm going to save the big fish for last because I see
you trying to be subliminal.
And this is an honest conversation about hip-hop. So say some names. You know what I mean?
So, no, you know me. I'm going to say names.
All right. So who
are
we talking about?
I got Wevos. You know what I mean?
Okay. So when it comes to ghostwriting, are we talking about J. Cole?
No, we're not talking about J. Cole. Because J. Cole, I listened to J. Cole's first album, and J. Cole probably said one of the corniest bars I've ever heard in my life. And with J. Cole, a lot of these cats were set up nice. And J. Cole had a track on with Jay-Z on his debut album.
On his debut, yeah.
And to me, that was probably one of the weakest songs on the whole album.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And you got Jay-Z to set you up, and I don't know if it was just a beat selection or if Jay was the one that implemented it, but it was not what it should have been. But J. Cole wasn't ready for Kendrick in the debut.
All right, so that leaves one other name in the conversation.
Yes.
And so that has to be Drake.
That is Aubrey.
Aubrey. Okay, so you're not even gonna address him as his artist name.
I'll say Drake.
You're gonna call him
Drake. Drake. Okay. But as far as the initial album,
yeah,
I think Drake's album was put together better than Kendrick's.
Wow. So you're gonna say Thank Me Later was better than Good Kid, M.A.A.d City, in your opinion?
I mean, as far as put together, having better chart success, having more singles, being more relatable. I promise you people remember more of Drake's bars from his album than Kendrick's. And I mean, the final piece, again, on Good Kid, M.A.A.d City, Drake, and they all feature with each other. Kendrick had, it was an interlude on Drake's album, and it was dope. But on Good Kid, M.A.A.d City, Drake had the verse in Poetic Justice.
Yeah, I think
Poetic Justice.
Yeah.
And Drake bodied Kendrick on his own album.
He bodied Kendrick.
He bodied Kendrick on his own album.
Okay.
And if you a classic or if you were great, that shit don't happen. Straight up.
Okay, so but then we can have the Renegade conversation. We can have M supposedly bodying Jay-Z on Renegade.
Okay.
And that being a track that allegedly Jay heard before. Wasn't really supposed to be a Jay record. It was supposed to be Royce and Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
So Jay got that LL Cool J 4-3-2-1 love where I can go ahead. I heard the record. I can go back and write. Came back, and a lot of people still think that M got Jay.
And they're correct.
They
did. But with Jay was on a different platform. Jay is not premiering to the world on Renegade. Jay's already established. Jay is probably already sold 10 million records already, so he doesn't have to. He's not as hungry as somebody coming with a debut album. But if you're coming with a debut album, it's balls to the walls. You know what I mean? You got to come with your best material. Period. You know, this is the shit that changes your life.
I think that style versus Jay style, Eminem style wins every time. I think.
Pretty.
If you put Eminem on any song with Jay-Z, I think he's gonna do what he does.
Just that animation. They have two different deliveries.
Yeah.
I mean, again,
it's
I'm
damn near. Yeah.
Poetic Justice is something I haven't heard in a very long time.
I don't remember either
verse really. You know what
True
I mean?
That.
I mean, and but it's like, isn't that like really a isn't that a girl track? I mean, would you say that is, you know, because usually standout verses are not on girl tracks. I've never had, never heard anybody just spit bars on something that they made for the females.
Yeah, but you're not spitting bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, come on now. Yeah, I mean, you're going to go half as hard. You know what I mean? Yeah, especially in your debut.
Well, I think, again, that's something that, like you said, Kendrick and the team over at Aftermath Interscope, they put together a good album. And you needed something, I guess, to relate to the radio, because in my opinion, that was the I guess, best success or most successful radio record was the Poetic Justice. I heard that multiple times. At some point, that Women of the Weather, I forget when it came out, Dre was on it, and it kind of had a short shelf life. It was kind of there and gone. Then they had released Swimming Pools for a quick minute, and then that one was kind of
fizzled out.
Fizzled out. That record, the Poetic Justice record, was out for a while. That was kind of in rotation. So I think they kind of knew what was happening with that record. Mm. You know, that's my opinion definitely when it comes to that one. Molly, you've been, you know, kind of chilling, kind of, you know, soaking everything in. Your point to what Simon's making, what do you think about, you know, some of the things that he's talked about?
Well, definitely with Kendrick and the Poetic Justice and the Drake and all that, I feel like Drake's lane is that. Mm-hmm. And as far as Drake is concerned, I just want to address one thing, because I was just thinking about him for a second.
Go ahead.
And I think he'll reach where he's trying to go when he starts speak, because he could spit. But he need to speak more to us for the most, you know.
Right.
He knows that we want to hear something, and he can give it to us.
Right.
If he would start spitting more, if he could hit that LL Cool J level that he's trying to hit, if he would make, he's not going to make an I'm Bad.
Right.
He's not going to make a 4-3-2-1, but he could try to attempt to make some
songs. To make
songs
something like that, yeah.
And kind of hit that level. But other than that, I mean, when it comes to the debuts and the Swimming Pools, I really, I heard them maybe once, and I never really heard them again. So
right.
I couldn't really give you a fair assessment, because those songs, they turn me off immediately. And
for the
most part, I hear them maybe once. I give them a chance, and I'm done with it.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Yeah. I don't really get into those. I try. I always give it a shot, you know. And after that, that's it for me.
It is
I go on to
is.
Something else. Yeah.
Because
I tell people, you don't have to listen to, you know, certain stuff if you don't really feel it. You got a world of music out there, and you can choose what works for you, and that's what I do. And a lot of that stuff, man, it kind of disappoints me, to be honest with you, because it's like, you can hit every audience, but you choose to hit one.
Right.
And that's
kind of cold.
Like, why would you do that and make the music suffer like that? So you can call me a hermit. You can call me, you know, whatever people say. But it's like, I definitely give everything a chance, but I got to be real. A lot of the stuff I only heard once, if at all.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to say this again. Personally, myself, that's kind of how I felt about the whole entire Good Kid, Mad City.
Because like, a lot, not to cut you off, but a lot of what you're saying, I'm sitting here like, yep. Like you said, I heard this was, that was it. I don't really know about this or that. And you like,
right.
Yeah.
And you know, like, yep. I think that's where I struggle with people when we talk about the Good Kid, Bad City being a classic. When we talk about people putting it up there with Ready to Die, people putting it up there with Illmatic and Nas, people putting it up there with Reasonable Doubts, people putting it up there with... just off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of other, you know, all-time great albums. Not one that
Doggy
I'm...
Style.
Yeah, Doggy Style. I'm not a big fan of The College Dropout. It was a dope record, but I wasn't really a fan of it from front to back. There was definitely some dope stuff. Joey, why are you giving me that face? I'll be honest. Yeah. Wasn't a big fan of The College Dropout, you know? I'm trying to think of what else... America's Most Wanted from Cube, Only Built for Cuban Links, Raekwon, Get Rich or Die Trying, you know, 50. I think that was a better record. You want to go way back. Quick as the Name, in my opinion, was a better record.
Let's do it.
Ghostface Iron Man was a better record.
Man.
So, you know, when we talk about, you know, we talk about greatest albums ever, and you're trying to throw in Good Kid, Mad City, you know, it's hard to justify that right now. Maybe over time it marinates on us and, you know, stuff grows on us. But to me, a classic, it should not have to grow on you.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It shouldn't have to grow on you. It should be something that
you shouldn't have to water it every day.
Right. Shouldn't have to go back and say, you know what? I'm gonna give the song a chance because I feel I didn't really give it the chance that it needed. Let me go back and let me listen to it 15 more times until I'm feeling it. So that's
classic
one thing I struggle
with. Classic for right now. That's what I think. Like,
well, that's a new
classic for right
now.
Yeah,
that's the new stuff. It's a classic right now. This
right
is what's
now,
hot right now.
Yeah, man. They need to kill all that. That's like all kids getting trophies, you know, just for
participation.
Yeah, you know what
right?
I mean?
Exactly.
That's what need to die. We need to stop being nice.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
Ass whoopings need to come back.
Because I'm not a yes.
It's timeout. Yeah. And this timeout shit ain't working no more.
Right,
you know?
Right. So let's kind of segue, because I think we've said what we've had to say when it comes to Good Kid, Mad City. And so let's now jump forward to the second record, To Pimp a Butterfly. Now, sonically, completely different from what was going on with Good Kid, Mad City. I appreciate, like you said, the chances that he took, some of the things that he did differently there. Mm-hmm. And on that record, I think he kind of opened up and exposed himself a little bit more.
Yeah.
Talked about some of the things he was dealing with when it came to anxiety and depression. And the only cat, to my knowledge, has really done that in great detail on his records has been a cat like M. So, again, I'm going to throw this back to y'all. What are your thoughts on To Pimp a Butterfly?
That was my favorite album of all of them.
Of all of them?
He did his thing. I loved it. Yes, definitely. And with all of this, Kendrick does what he's supposed to do. He's speaking to the audience, and he's doing what the people want. So let me say that first and foremost. I might not agree with it all, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's a dynamite artist, and I love him for speaking to the people like he does because he's satisfying the people. He satisfied me in particular on that second album. I love him for that because, you know, shout out to Knowledge. That Mama song was amazing. But, nah, he did it. He did it on that second one for me. So, you know, I loved it front to back, all things considered. I love the whole album. So, sonically, lyrically, everything. That was the one for me.
And what about you, Sign? How you feel?
And I agree with Molly. I mean, I'm a funk head, man. You know what I mean? I'm from Cali. So you got George Clinton on some shit, King Kunta. You know what I mean? I still, that shit, I
get naked
King.
Flip. Oh, man. Shout out to Mossberg.
Yeah,
R.I.P.
Mossberg, man.
Shout out to Mossy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he definitely, there was way more tracks that I was feeling on the second album. You know, again, because he expanded musically, you know, and he was bringing George Clinton in, you know, using the Get Naked sample, more of
Thundercat.
West Coast sound. So, Pimp a Butterfly is a dope it's album. And yeah, it's multitudes above Good Kid, Mad City. So, like I said, I like how he approached it. There's still not every track to me is desirable, but you know what I mean? There's about a good 8 tracks that I can run through and, you know, definitely enjoy.
So what you said, what was your favorite off that? Was it the King Kunta? Was that your favorite joint off there?
Nah, my favorite track off of there, because they're all group, man, because all of them are good, man. So I can't say that I had a soul favorite because it, like I said, there's multiple. I mean, the King Kunta was hard. The George Kemp or Clinton track was hard. I don't know the titles of the track when he's talking about the alcohol and he's in the hotel room and shit. Where were your antennas? You know what I mean? That was hard out of beat transition, you know. And then I'm trying to think what else was I riding
my joint
to?
Was Mama.
Mama.
Shout out to Kent. Knowledge.
Yeah, Knowledge on that.
Knowledge on that. Yeah.
My joint on that record was a Black of the Berry, the Sweet of the Juice joint. That joint,
yeah,
was
I thought
crazy.
That was hard.
That was hard.
Like when I
Love
heard that.
That,
I liked Love the that. I liked the track that they put out before that. The one that had the it was like either a Boys and Men flip or a Take 6 flip. Was that 10, 9, 8? You know, what was that?
All right.
Was
yeah.
it all right? It I liked all right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
hard.
I liked all right, but then when I heard the Black of the Berry joint, I was like, that's
that
the
was
one
the
right
one.
There.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that
man.
Was the one right there.
That was.
I mean, he put it all together lyrically. Yeah. You know, the hook was on point. The, you know, production was on point. To me, that is in my opinion, one of his better songs, then, like from front to back, the way they put that joint together.
And then how much a dollar costs about the homes.
Yeah, that right there.
That's insane, man.
That's my favorite right there. Yeah. I forgot all about that. Yeah.
And to me, in my opinion, if there's one that we're going to say what is classic, what is not, to me, To Pimp a Butterfly, in my opinion, is going to be probably his best work.
Indeed.
Not to take away anything from Damn, which we'll talk about now. So that's the newest joint, and that's a joint that came out on a Tuesday, and on Thursday it was everybody's favorite record ever.
Right.
And he was the greatest MC ever. Yeah. So, you know, Sign, what do you feel about Damn now that you've had some time to listen, to run it through and kind of digest?
I mean, I like the concepts. It's crazy. I think that he's kind of mimicking people, man, with the Humble track, because he's got that simple flow, you know what I mean, and with the ad-libs, and he's just doing what these cats are really doing, but not putting effort into it. You know what I mean? Like Humble, he probably wrote in 10 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel. And it's cool to do some parody shit or kind of just level up against, you know, what's out there. But don't put that on your album, and especially don't make that as your single. You know, like, how much do you respect your fans if this is your single? You know what I mean? Like, you're not putting your best work out there. This is just some mimic shit, some Weird Al Yankovic type shit. You know what I mean? And I find that's what they want. But you know what I mean? Like, as an artist, you know, you're supposed to put your best out, man. You know what I mean? Like,
so do you think by releasing that, he was saying, look, I can come out to something that I might not be fully feeling, give you guys maybe not 100% of, you know, I don't know what his thought process was when he was writing that, but you're saying he might have just half-assed it. So if he half-assed it, it's still better than what the peers who make that music are putting out? Does he get credit?
No.
Does he get
no.
credit for that?
Kendrick has a name, so you know what I mean? Like, if you listen to me, if I listen to that, and if I listen to the Migos crock pot drop top and all that, the production on the Migos is shitting on Humble. But what I give Humble, and I think how Kendrick pulled him in, is the visuals. The MVP of Humble is the visuals, because that fucking video, the way that they directed it and gave it such a different look, I think that's what pulled everybody in. But if you were sitting, if you didn't know either song, and you listened to Migos and you listened to Kendrick, because Kendrick ain't saying nothing lyrically, you know what I mean? And neither is Migos. But if you listen to the hook and how the production is put together, I would say the majority of the people would probably roll with the Migos track.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a tough one. What do you think about that, Molly? Because I don't know if I'm 100% agreeing with that.
Well, with the Humble track, I heard that once, and I never really went back to it. I was disappointed, man.
Oh, you a cold piece.
I'm just being well, honest conversation.
Right.
Honest conversation.
Right, this is what I try to make notes.
Right. Don't get Molly your disc, because that shit getting one run.
I love it all, man. I love everybody for doing what they do. Because it's an audience for it.
Right.
But for me, I just wasn't really feeling it too tough. And so, you know, that's kind of where I stand on that song.
I heard it again.
You know, I listened to the whole album again today. And the only thing, for the most part, that just jumps out the most to me, of course, is Duckworth. Why? Aesthetically, it's where I'm at.
Right.
Sonically.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where I am. And that is the highlight to me of the entire album, for the most part. You know, that, and it's a couple more. Don't get me wrong. It's maybe one or two more I was listening to a few minutes ago.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, that's cool. But it's Duckworth, you know. And in my circle, that's what everybody shouted. When it came out, it was all about Duckworth. Duckworth. You didn't hear nothing about none of the other tracks,
right?
And like I said, with the Humble, I heard it once, and on to the next joint. And right now, it's cold with this internet thing, because everything is kind of expendable. We sit on it for a minute or two. This is supposed to be a classic, right?
That's what people are saying.
Are we listening to it now?
No,
generally
we're not.
Speaking,
I'm not listening to it.
What are we doing, man? What's going on with this? We got to get back to I mean, I know the popularity is going to win every time. But I think that we need to take it upon ourselves to say, that's not a classic. Let's get back to letting them know what a classic is.
Right, right. So
even if we try and don't get there, what they say, you shoot for the moon, you're going to hit the stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let me ask you this, Amali. So with the classic label that seems to be getting tossed around, I mean, people are tossing that around like, you know, I don't know, like it's free. Like, hey, there you go, classic. Yeah. Here you go, classic. Yeah. What do we need to do as a hip-hop community to better designate that or better police that? I really don't know what the terminology would be around that, because in my opinion, again, I haven't heard, there's a lot of albums that have been released lately.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's some stuff that's very comparable to Damn. You know, the Logic record is supposed to be fire. I heard a couple of tracks off that. I don't know, I was digging some of the stuff that he was talking about. I'm trying to remember off the top of my dome who else had who had records that had just been recently released that were supposed to be kind of up to par to what Kendrick was doing. Gunna's not here right now, but Gunna would probably say that Zero tape.
Shout out to Gunna.
Shout out to Gunna. The Zero that just came out is up there as well. So, you know, what do we do about trying to, again, as a community, what do we do about trying to make classics what they weren't, where they, you know, once were? I know Trump's trying to make America great again. I'm trying to make hip-hop classics again. So you know, what y'all opinion on that?
Influence.
Yeah.
The people with the influence, it got to start there, and it'll trickle down like everything else. It got to be who's the popular one doing it. Once he started, then the next person going to follow with that. But it has to be a lot of them doing it. It can't just be one, because he's not – it got to be a lot of them, and if it's a movement, then it'll start, and then it'll follow, and then people will go behind that like they do everything else. But it has to start up at the top and trickle down.
And trickle down.
Absolutely. Can't go from the bottom up, like, because we all down here doing that, but it's not – it only goes so far from where we are up to the top. Start at the top and bring it down to the bottom again. It'll go. You got the Scarfaces. They still out there doing it. Shout out to Scarface. The last album was crazy. What was that – I forget what the last album was called, but he took it back to, you know.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it was a hell of an album. You got a lot of people that are still trying to, what was that? Even the Cuban Links 2, when that came out.
Right.
That was amazing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So
yeah.
People like that got to go back to, they know what they get. They know what they got to do. Stop being yes men, you know. And do what you got to do. Put it down. And then people will follow.
And just put the consistent
put
records
down.
Out.
Keep it, be consistent. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Sean?
Man, I hate to be negative, but I'm going to keep it real with y'all, man. I think we passed that point where I think with everything in social media and that shit is so viral. I mean, all you need to do now is go viral.
Exactly.
And the separation in the game and from the veterans and these youngsters is the social media game. And that's where the success and the money is being made. So, you know, these younger cats where the money – or the younger cats got all the money behind them. You know what I mean? So – to go viral or to get a dope visual or push that single, they're definitely getting more effort put behind them. And I think that it's already hit to the masses. So with that, I mean, that's who they're trying to go to. They're not trying to appease to us or, you know, cats that actually put standards on music, because, you know, we're not relevant. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we log into Facebook. We might share a dope Malcolm X you know, slogan or something like that, but we're not sitting on SoundCloud for 3 hours out of the day, you know, running through new music. So I think that it's past that point to where we can actually govern it. You know what I mean? I think the youngsters they got a hold of this shit and it ain't going nowhere. You know what I mean?
It should continue that way, and everybody should continue to do what they're doing and get paid, get their money, because it's a lane for that.
Right, right.
And they should continue to do what they're doing, but it's just, you know. I would like to see some of the people who put it down, you know, from the original, and I would like to just see some of them get the shine and still get, not them, but just that sound. You know, that sound is like null and void, and when you bring it around, it just comes like when Kendrick tried it, it gets shunned.
Yeah.
So it's just
it doesn't get picked up. Like you said earlier, the flip of the Get Naked track, you know, that's something
just,
that cats,
you know, you can kind of,
yeah, they were like, man, I'm on King Kunta. That's
didn't
dope.
Even know,
and it was so different.
Shout
from,
out to Mossy,
right? It was so different from what else was out there, landscape wise, sonically wise, what everybody else was doing. it kind of went unnoticed when it's something that, you know, in my opinion, should have been something that got a lot more love than it initially did. Yeah. So with Damn overall, what is your opinion on how great of an album front to back that was?
Oof. Damn. I think we all in agreement. The Pimp a Butterfly was that's the one. But Damn, I'm more familiar with the Good Kid, Mad City. I ran through Damn the whole thing because, like I said, I try to study everything and see how he was coming and like I said, with all the hoorah about it, or, you know, about the album and everybody going crazy, you know, I wanted to see what everybody was going crazy about. But I would say Damn to me is you know, his third best. You know, out of the top three, you know, his three albums.
So you'd go Pimp a Butterfly, you'd go Good Kid, Mad City.
Then I would go.
Then
Damn.
You would go yeah. Damn. So it almost kind of, in a roundabout way, some sort of regression at this point in Kendrick's career.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know what, and I'll be fair in saying this. It's probably not Kendrick. It's the label and the machine behind Kendrick, as far as appeasing everybody. You know what I mean? Like, he's probably got somewhat control of his album and the concepts and everything like that, but, you know, daddy got to monitor, you know, what he's doing. You know, the street lights came on and he had to go in, you know.
So are you referring to the U2 records? Are you referring to the records with Rihanna and things of that nature?
See, that Rihanna, that's a reach. You know what I'm saying? If you're great, you don't have to reach. You know what I mean? Like, come on now.
You don't think that was something that organically Kendrick sat down, heard the beat, and said, I need Riri on this record? You don't think that happened?
Yeah, you know, he just had a brainstorm one day, and it's like, oh, man, Riri. He saw what's homeboy got? Kemp from the Dodgers and shit, like, Kemp. I got to get her on the record.
I think, isn't he a Padre now or something?
But, you know,
like that?
But again, that label stuff, and with Good Kid, Mad City, like I said, I had to do my research and listen to all this stuff again before coming on here. He was having Lady Gaga, and she was going to be on Don't Kill My Vibe. She was the one that did the hook. But they cut her off at the last minute or whatever. But, you know what I'm saying, that's not Kendrick. That's
I've
the
never
label.
Heard that before, and that's a completely different record if you have Lady Gaga on that joint. That's a completely different record.
So, yeah. I mean, he's reaching, but that's not Kendrick reaching. That's Interscope. That's industry. That's not even Dre. That's Mr. IV.
That's Jimmy Richard. Right, though.
If it feel right, I don't care who you got on the record. Just
right.
If it feel right, put anybody on it.
So Molly, did the Rihanna and YouTube records feel right to you when you heard
them? I actually, now that you bring that up, that little YouTube part at the end of one of them joints, I heard that little part, and I was like, kind of like, all right, whatever. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It wasn't
but
bad.
It wasn't great.
Nah. I mean, he doing all that. Man, it's Interscope Records, Jack. You know what it is. That's Interscope Records.
Hey,
he going to have YouTube.
Hey, that's Bono or however.
Yeah, he going to have.
Probably one of the biggest superstars on the goddamn planet. You know what I mean?
Have YouTube on that shit.
Man, you should go diamond with that motherfucker on the goddamn record.
Yeah, but I mean, with that Damn album, it might not be my favorite, but I understand it. He had to do what he had to do, and shit, everybody like it, so hell what we think, right?
Right,
And the purists are always going to have our opinion, and we're going to be the ones that they say are the old heads, and haters, whatever they want to call that shit. Hey, man, we like good music, bottom line. A lot of these dudes like what everybody else like. It's popularity contest for the most part, you know. And that's kind of how it goes. And, you know, I like soul music, man. So if it got some soul in it, I don't care who doing it. I don't care where it come from, who the name of the person is.
Yeah.
Or none of that. If it's you know, if it got some soul in it, you probably got my vote.
Yeah, no, I definitely respect that. And again, we are old heads, we are purists, and I wear the old head badge very proudly, you know what I mean? And so, you know, that's the ear and that's the mentality that we're looking at it. And when it comes to Damn and people giving it this critical acclaim of already being a classic, I agree with both of you guys. I have a hard time putting it up there with some of the albums that we mentioned. And these are just debut albums. We haven't even went in and talked about, you know, Cat's second or third albums and that consistency that's there. And that's why, and I think it was Gunna who touched on this last episode, in my opinion, when it comes to Kendrick, we need to give him time to see where his trajectory is at, where he's going.
I think
it's too soon to stamp it and brand it as him being the guy right now and there's no one that can go ahead and touch him.
I agree.
So I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
All right. So we know Kendrick is behind the Interscope curtain. Mm-hmm. How dope of an album do you think he would make without going, or not without, but being independent and having 100% creative control?
Man, he make one of the best albums you ever heard in your life.
Yeah. I think, honestly, that's a great question. I think he'll blow everybody out.
He make one of the best albums you ever heard in your life.
Out of all the new booties, I think that he'll go ahead and blow them out the water. And I mean, he might make something comparable. I think Interscope, it helps him as far as financially and his family and getting his name out. But artistically, I think once he gets done with whatever 50 million album deals he has with Dre, he would definitely be a force. I'll give him that. Creative, if he was controlling his whole project from start to finish, I think we would definitely be having a different conversation.
There was a rumor about with the Damn when it came out. They said that I guess it was supposed to be 2 days later on after the Easter holiday.
Yeah, I heard about that.
The Nation was supposed to get the Damn Nation or whatever case. Yeah, I was waiting on the Nation.
Yeah, you was waiting on the Nation.
I was waiting on the Nation.
And it didn't drop. And I know people were disappointed in that, but. To follow that up, though, because he did that with To Pimp a Butterfly, right? Didn't he have
the Untitled album?
Yeah, The Pimp a Butterfly. Then LeBron leaked the other album, so get Top on the phone. You got to drop it. That came out, and in my personal opinion, that kind of just went by the wayside. Cats were like,
hell of an album.
Right, you know what I mean? But it just didn't get that look that you would expect coming off this great album or this album that's giving you a lot of publicity right now. They released that, and it was kind of like, all right, it's out. Onto whatever was hot at the time.
And then they say with the second, supposed to be a second album, whatever, they say you're supposed to play it backwards. And that was the second album. If you were to play it backwards.
Oh, okay. So just the order of the tracks.
Right. From,
I'm too old. I ain't got the time to do it. I'm too old to be playing albums.
I see too many YouTube tutorials and channeling devil spirits that, running it backwards. So. I ain't doing all that. Yeah.
So one other thing that, again, I'm referencing Gunna because, he's not here and he had a lot of good points last time when we briefly touched on this on the pre-show. And I know Kendrick is very, I don't want to say cocky, but he's very sure of himself as the guy right now. And he's made that very clear in a lot of different tracks. So, he came, he dropped the control. But one thing that Guns was talking about was he felt that Kendrick hadn't been tested yet as an MC. Most great MCs go through that period where they're tested. We can go back with, Shannon and KRS-One. We go back with Kool Moe and LL Cool J, We'll talk Nas and Jay. So there's always these tests. Has he been tested yet?
He did his part. He called them all out.
Right.
Mac Miller, Jay Lott, I'll murder all of you niggas.
Right.
Nobody. Well, they came back with their little responses.
Well, you had Joel Ortiz who came back with a hell of fire response.
Yeah, yes, sir. But he ain't.
I'm trying to think. Someone else had a really dope one too.
Poos.
Poos had
Pap
a dope one.
Ooh, yeah, Pap. Yeah. King Los. Shout out to King Los.
King Los had a good one.
Good Lord.
Even the young dude. What was my man? Astro.
Astro. Young Stro.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Astro
Stro
had
came
a hell
with one.
Hell of fire diss.
Young Stro.
Is
speaking of. Oh, yeah, that's enough.
No, but go ahead. We have
an honest
conversation.
That's a whole
nother
thing.
Let's branch off to that. You want to bring up Astro, who had that, who I thought had a very good response to Control. What'd you want to say about Astro?
Not speaking of another Stro, but
another Stro. Okay.
That's another subject. Yeah.
So, as far as
shout out to Mike Stro.
As far as Kendrick himself, and no one really testing him, again, he's doing his part. You guys feel that? Hey. I'm putting it out there. No one's really reciprocating. Or, is it just the climate of hip-hop now that we're all friends? Who really cares?
They know they ain't got it. Them dudes knew what time it was. A lot of them I heard one cat say, I think it was Mac Miller. I saw on Twitter, he said, well, if I can't spit bars, I'll spit adjectives. If I can't spit ad-libs, I'll spit ad-libs. Something like that, kind of conceding defeat.
Right.
I said, I'm never listening to nothing you got to say. I ain't never listening to nothing you got to say ever again. Because
so
you was sucking. You took the L.
Yeah,
if I can't spit nouns, I'll spit adjectives. Some weird shit. I saw you. I'm through with you. Kind of punk shit is this?
What do you think, Si?
I mean, it was some sucker shit the way that he dropped Control. And, He called out everybody's name, called out, you know what I mean, and he's so supreme and everything like that. And, it, man, it was probably about 1,000 fucking videos of Control of everybody taking shit to his neck, and he did not respond to one. And I heard that Mask Off or whatever, I guess, addresses it. I haven't heard the Mask Off remix with Future, but I guess it's addressing what's going on with Control. But, I mean, still 3 years, you know what I mean, 3 years, that's like somebody punching and then hiding behind their homie because they don't want to fight. You know what I mean? Like, that's some sucker shit. You know what
they
I mean?
They say him and Big Sean been going back and forth on subliminally.
Well, subliminally, it's supposed to be Sean. Drake is throwing shots or whatever. Whoever's writing for Drake is throwing the shots for Drake. They're throwing the alley-oops, and Drake's just catching them and putting them down or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, is that where we're at? And is that why people grasp onto Kendrick, because Kendrick seems to be the initiator of a lot of these beefs? He's kind of the bully, and everybody else is just kind of taking a little shot here and there when they can.
I mean, pretty much, you know. I mean, this is this new booty shit. You know what I mean? These youngsters, there's no standards, or there's no parameters or guidelines in which they were raised. You know what I mean? So all this sucker shit is, I mean, that's what's popping, and it's acceptable.
And a lot of these cats just ain't got it, you know. So that's a element of it. Also, we got this internet.
Where you start shit, you know. You, I mean, look at Drake with Joe Buttons. He left that shit right the fuck alone.
Exactly.
And Ned Drake with Common, same shit. Common had one response, that shit was deaded.
Right.
Kendrick don't want to get deaded. He know he'll get deaded with some of these veterans and shit. You know, Mac Miller, yeah, he can have that win. You know what I mean? That's, you know, this. Remember the gorgeous ladies of wrestling and shit like that. That's these new booties and shit. They glow. Right? So he can do that glow shit. But you know, you fucking there, or you fucking around and get with the big boys. He ain't banging with it. You know, I have a beef with these youngsters not bringing the OGs on collabs, because I think the inferiority of the lyricism that these cats will bring, and show the separation of the two generations.
So can Kendrick, let's say Kendrick was to do a collab album with all the OGs.
No, hell
do you
no.
think he can hold his, no, you know, no. hold his own on no. some of these records?
He's not that type of artist.
So didn't wasn't there some sort of like surprise it's your birthday remix where they remixed something with Jay-Z on it, and Jay, was it Don't Kill My Vibe or something? They had a Jay-Z. I listened to that. I didn't really hear too much of a difference. And again, we were just talking about how Dre's at that point, or where Jay's at that point where he'll just spit a verse because he's Jay, and Jay's hunger is gone.
Jay is talking about pallets of money and shit like that. And Jay is kind of out for me. Like, that hunger and shit is not there. But you throw that motherfucker with Styles P or Jada or even Joel Ortiz or Joe Buttons, they're not banging with like certified lyricists that are still hungry and making less than $1 million a year.
Joel, you know, hungry.
That
hunger is a different animal, you know what I mean, when you barely making your mortgage payment. Jay ain't worried about no goddamn mortgage payment.
So we'll go back to this Kendrick being MCA1 right now, according to many folks. Your personal opinions, who's maybe ahead of him? Who's there with him?
Well, again, out of the new class,
just in general,
everybody,
like relevant people who are relevant and making money right now, making music today.
Making music today, he's, for me, it'd probably be hard to even squeeze him in the top 10 as far as lyrically, you know, lyrically and being an artist. I think as far as being an artist, he's easily top 10 as far as putting an album and concepts and everything together. But lyrically, going 16 for 16, I think he'd get there. There's a lot of cats. He's not top 10. He'll get body.
So I'm not going to ask you to name 10 because I know you don't have them ready to go. But give me just some of the first names on your list that you're taking over Kendrick right now.
Okay. So I'll take Nas. I'll take Jada. I'll take Styles. Joel. I'll take Joel. Joe Buttons, I'll take Joe Buttons on the 16, you know what I mean, comparable. It's not fair because there's a lot of the older Gs, but, he'd get Drake in them because Drake, I'd have to consider the 80 writers that's, you know, putting in 16 bars. Hey, I want to do their job. That's what I want to do. Half a bar and make five racks. That's what, but I mean, let's see, who else? Crooked Eye. He ain't getting with Crooked Eye. And Crooked Eye slept on. You know what I mean?
So that's almost everyone from Slaughterhouse minus Royce the 5'9".
No, and Royce the 5'9", okay. You know what I mean? Easily in there.
So he ain't messing with Slaughter. Okay. Yeah. But is there anybody else? I mean, let's anybody in his generation
in his generation?
That, you know, like we said, senior to high school.
All right. I mean, the high school kids. Freshman, that's why I said senior. It wasn't fair. But the high school kids, what's it called? Like King Los is nice. I would take Action. I think Action would be harder. Lyrically.
You think Action would be harder lyrically
than
Kendrick
with the bars and, uh-huh. and the punches?
Yeah.
I promise you, I would remember four of Action's bars than what I would.
And I like Bronson. That's my dude. Big shout out to Action Bronson. That's a tough one though. Molly, what about yourself? What do you think about as far as?
He's definitely up there. The boy got bars. I'm not gonna take nothing away from him on that. He's definitely a spitter. So he's up there. But it's a lot of people out there. man, West Side Gun, Conway.
Yeah, West Side Gun.
Blue. Maestro, Columbo Black. It's a lot of young guys, yeah. But nobody that's not on his level, I could say.
Right.
That's on. Nobody could fuck with him as far as the label guys, the Big Sean's. And I hear a lot about Big Sean, but I haven't heard nothing yet that I, you know, could say that he's really fucking with him like
Big,
that.
Big
on.
Sean,
I don't know what people
Big
looking
Sean
for
is
with
corny.
The lyrics,
yeah, Big Sean
but
is corny.
If you're talking about like with the majors or whatnot. He's the one. I mean, you could, if we talking Nas and all those kind of guys, we go on and on and on, man. We could, man, we go.
Yeah, and we can, and that's something
yeah,
that we
that's
could.
That's the case, but
that was something that we could, you know, I mean, discuss at length. Yeah, but I just wanted to bring us together today to discuss this and kind of get our take and have an honest conversation about where we kind of feel, you know, Kendrick's spot is, because I think. With everybody, and it's just, you know, again, no diss to Kendrick at all, but I think everyone in today's current hip hop, we'll just say music. I'm not gonna touch on the other genres. I just think there's this elevation that is not really deserved, you know, and it's kind of false. You know, at this point, just because of the platforms that's available to everybody, if you're seen everywhere, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, you could take somebody who's never even heard Damn, and if you ask them, what is your perception on this, just based off social media, they're going to say,
exactly.
Obviously, this is
yeah.
a big thing, you know? This is obviously a big thing because I see it everywhere. It's on Instagram. It's on Snapchat. It's on this. It's on that. And I think that is the one thing that is really hurting, you know, hip-hop as a whole. It's good. It's that double-edged sword. But when the perception of something is you know, increased just based off that alone, the perception, and really no music or any groundwork, but, you know, below that, you know, then, you know, that definitely does take away from the art form.
And on top of that, production is important, man. And you putting him on these little popcorn beats, and it's like, it's taken away from what he really does and how he really sounds. What's the song I was just listening to? It's a certain flow that he has. Like, you know, we all know about the Andre 3000 thing that he does.
Right, right.
He gets
that's
in that lane.
Does kill me
and that's
right
like,
now,
come
dude.
On, man. I mean, I don't know. I when the Money Trees came out, that's when he started doing it a lot.
Yeah,
and I was just kind of like, okay, I hope this stops
here.
Stops
at some point,
right?
Right.
And then you see it continues, and it's like, that's not the flow that I like. And he has certain flows, so the beats are very important. Papoose.
Right.
He's a monster, man. And if Papoose on the right beats, if you put him against Kendrick, it's gonna be a 12-round heavyweight situation, man.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
boy is a monster.
You think it would go back and forth,
absolutely.
Or do you think it's
with
a one
Papoose,
round knockout?
No, it's gonna be because they both got it. But I feel like Kendrick has to be in that lane where he's really spitting, like on the Section 80, and the, you know what I mean, and the, like when he really is rapping, and not that lazy.
To me, one thing that I always hear from Kendrick, and it's the Marshall Benjamin effect. He's kind of got this Eminem and Andre. He's got that Marshall and Andre 3000 kind of mixed up. And that when I first heard him, that was always something that was so hard for me. Like, when we heard, you know, Nas, people said he kind of sounds like Rakim, but it was still a Nas thing.
Yeah, you heard,
you know,
Nas,
I mean,
when he did his
right,
thing.
Right, when
yeah.
you heard, when you hear Cube, right. you hear Cube, you know. And I think for me right now, that, and that's one of the biggest problems I have with Kendrick, is I'm not sure if we're hearing his true voice as an MC.
Right.
You know, is, and he sounds too influenced. And I could be way off. I don't know Kendrick. I could be way off. He might have never, he might not even be a fan of Outkast. You know what I mean? I know he's a fan of M, and I'm assuming he's a fan of Outkast as well. But that's just something that's always, you know, really stuck in my ear, so to speak, when I'm hearing that type of stuff there. So, again, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for, you know, coming through and having this conversation. Again, this is just an honest conversation about hip hop. There is no intent, no, there's no hate or any type of malice going towards Kendrick. Great artist. Glad the fact, glad that you are speaking on some positivity, continuing to go ahead and do that. I personally just feel that as far as you getting the crown, as if Kendrick's really listening. I'm, like, talking to him right now. Like, I know you listen to Kung Fu Kenny. But it, as far as you getting the crown right now, there's some levels to that. And there's some things that have to be done before we can even get to that, to be able to do that. So I'm going to let you gentlemen go ahead and give your parting shots before we go ahead and wrap it up.
Shout out to Kendrick. Yeah. Hey. Love Kendrick. My favorite album is The Pimp a Butterfly, though.
I feel you on that. Molly, let everybody know where they can find you at, man. What you got going on? I think you really need to let everybody know about what you do on SoundCloud, the blends and everything. I'm late on that. So I'm sorry that I'm late on that, but I was up one night just chilling, and I saw the Battle Cat and Quick. I think it was part two that you did.
Yeah.
So tell everybody about
definitely.
That.
Definitely. Just some blending I do, man. Nothing, you know. The people who I love the most, the people who inspire me the most, I might take what I have in my library and make a blend of it and just put it up there for people to listen to. It's really for me to listen to when I'm on this freeway going back and forth to Riverside and get my son on the weekend.
Right.
But I make blends for me when I'm sitting in traffic and for other people to listen to. That's really what it's
And where can they find
about.
The blends?
It's on SoundCloud. I think it's Molly G1, I believe.
If you actually go to if you're on SoundCloud and you hit the Overtime Hustling page where you can find Honest Conversation About Hip Hop, I've shared a couple of the blends. So if you go through what I've liked and what I've shared, you'll definitely be able to go ahead and find that. Sime, anything from you real quickly?
Yeah, man. Tag in Sime Capone with a K, KAPONE, Facebook, Instagram, out there getting ready for the summer, man. I got some fly shit popping. So stay tuned. Definitely stay tuned to the Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. Thank you for supporting and banging with us this long. Shout out to Kendrick. Go independent. I bet you make the shit of your life, bro. So get that Interscope money until then.
All right, y'all. Well, you know, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Again, big shout outs to OvertimeHustling.com, Overtime Hustling the magazine, which is actually dropping June 10th with Slink Johnson on the cover. Big shout outs to Smoke Yours Crew. And you're going to find a lot of content in there. You mentioned West Side Gun. In this edition of the magazine, actually did a review for his Hitler on Steroids joint. That was okay. A dope mixtape. And Joey Dixon TV, who's shooting us right now, he's going to be in there actually with some interviews into the battle rap scene. So we got a lot going on. If you've never checked out Overtime Hustling the magazine, you definitely need to go ahead and check us out on SoundCloud and you know, let us know what you think. So every episode we wrap up a track, we wrap up the show with what we call the outro, where we just let a track play, we don't say nothing, and we just vibe off of what we're vibing off of. So we're going to play something from Kush Kennedy. Big up to Kush Kennedy. This is called Coop Music, and it's off his mixtape Now that you can actually get on audiomac.com. So Kush Kennedy, exactly how it sounds. I'm not going to spell it out for y'all. Kush Kennedy. This is Coop Music. And again, thank you all for listening to the Kendrick Conversation on the Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. Again, you can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. We're going to roll out to this Kush Kennedy, and this is Coop Music.
Yeah. Yeah. Smoke daily. Yeah. Yeah. I smoke daily. Only
when I know it's gonna pay me. Got the great combination with the safe key, and got something for them niggas trying to play me. Push the coupe with the roof that'll slide back, with more juice than GQ, but besides that, breaking down the cush sticky like a fly trap. Drove all the way to Vegas at the flyback, at 325 with the bucket seat. Taught myself to drive stick, can't fuck with me. Ride around blowing gas like Excite Bike. I done heard a lot of trash with your life like. I heard you got signed to Waste Management. Break him down with the flow, he can't handle it. You sit your hating ass down, you can't stand the shit. My respect offhand, I demand the shit. Had the Cavalier with the bang in it, and I sold more coke than Rick James in it. D taught me the game, I did my thing with it. Caught me a chain and bought a plane ticket. Fell off, then I bounced back. How many times I couldn't count that? The fact is that I came back. Sold the ring, got my chain back. Yeah, I smoke daily, only move when I know it's gonna pay me. Got the great combination with the safe key, and got something for them niggas trying to play me. Push the coupe with the roof that'll slide back, with more juice than GQ, but besides that, breaking down the cush sticky like a fly trap. Drove all the way to Vegas at the flyback.